Well, it's time for our high school pregame show. That was the football preview show. We didn't get to complete it, but you can listen to it online in its entirety with all the coaches and all the analysis. Hello there, I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and we have high school football tonight for you from Peabody once again, as the Lynn English Bulldogs are visiting the Peabody Tanners. So, Coach Ingram, Peabody, let me just shut this music off here. It's a beautiful night, big full moon, cool temperature dropping down just around, just below 50 right now, but again, there's no wind. Gorgeous night for football. And Lynn English comes in with a record of 0-2. They're 1-4 overall. Paul, they've only scored 61 points and allowed 124, but Peabody on a roll right now. They're 1-2 in the league, 2-3 overall with a big win last week. They've scored 78 points and allowed 73. And English has played a lot of teams tough, but they just haven't come up with the win when they needed it.
No, excuse me, but it looks like, yeah, they've had a couple of tough losses to start out the season. And, you know, sometimes you get on this trend of losing games, and it's hard to get yourself out of it. But we were here last week, Peabody against Classical, and I was very impressed with Peabody. And just watching them warm up, they seem to have great numbers, and they really look like they have some players. They certainly got... I'm a little surprised at the number of points scored, though. I feel they can score more points than they have. I just think they have quite a few weapons, to be honest with you. I haven't seen English, so this should be interesting, and see if they can get back on the winning track. Certainly, you know, if you keep losing, and it becomes a pattern, and it's hard to break out of it, so... Hopefully, we'll have a good game tonight.
All right, we've got to get right to it as we have a lot to cover here in the pregame. We've got both coaches. We'll talk to Chris Carroll of Lynn English. We'll also talk to Mark Betancourt of Peabody High School. It's all coming up in our pregame show here as we have high school football on this Friday night. So stay with us. Don't forget, game over on Channel A. That's Marblehead at Lynn Classical. Big game tomorrow on MSO, Danvers at Beverly.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell with Chris Carroll, head football coach at Lynn English High School. And, Chris, you guys are in Peabody this week.
Yes, in Peabody Friday night, looking to bounce back after a tough loss on this past Friday.
Well, now Peabody is another one of these teams in the NEC North with a very solid defense. I saw them, I think I just saw them once, but they were very impressive when I saw them.
Yeah, watching film on them, they're very tough. I saw them live versus Beverly. They were very good. We came away impressed after that game. The defensive end's a good players. The linebackers are good players. They're a well-coached team, and you know, we know it's going to be a tough game Friday night.
Yeah, no, their quarterback was back last week as well, so that was a plus for them.
Yep, you know, another element to the offense, and I think that really helped them in their game last week.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what's the latest with English High for this week?
Well, you know, I think last week we took a step back. You know, that's not taking anything away from Damaris. They were a very good team. They had a good game plan, and they outplayed us. But, you know, we didn't execute in the red zone. We drove the ball in the first, our first drive of the game, down the 4-yard line and stall. We gave up again. Third and longs have been our kind of a backbreaker for us since the conference play has started. And, you know, it's like I said in the paper, you know, eventually we have to make a play. We have to make a play to get off the field or make a play to get in the end zone, and that's what we're still waiting on.
Yeah. And quarterback Matt Severin, some observations on him?
Matt's growing. He's doing well. He controls the offense. He's a good player. I think everybody we play has recognized he's a very good player. And, you know, I think we need to help him out a little bit, and we need some other guys to step up alongside him.
How about the defense? What's your thinking on your defense this year?
So we've had some new starters the last couple of weeks. You know, a senior captain we had, he tore his ACL. You know, we were hoping it wasn't that bad, but he did. Linebackers. We've had a new linebacker the past few weeks who's coming along well. And a couple new secondary members as well. But, you know, I think we're a younger defense that's we're coming along. We just have to eliminate the big play. It's just been, again, last week Matt Andreas breaks off a 60-yard run. You know, we have to eliminate the big play and at the very least make these teams drive on us, and it's something we're continuing to work on.
Well, I know you were able to force some penalties from Danvers last week.
Yes, on the first drive particularly. You know, we went fast. Part of our game plan last week was to try keeping it up-tempo, so Danvers couldn't set their blitzes up, things like that. But once they get set and they start moving around, they're pretty good. And, you know, it worked in the first half, but yeah, we still had no points to come out of it. So, again, drove the ball, beneficiaries of some penalties, and still, you know, we got to get better.
Yeah. All right, Coach, good talking with you, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Chris Carroll, head football coach at Lynn English High School, with us here on MSO News Sports.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off-the-boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews, seasonal favorites, are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
Very pleased to be joined now by Peabody High School football coach Mark Betancourt. And coach, how are you?
So far, so good.
Very good, and very big win, an impressive win, I think, the other night over Lynn Classical. You guys playing very well and shutting Classical out, a lot to talk about in that game. So for you, how did you look at that Classical win? I know it was a weird start. I think they had like 14 plays on their first possession or something like that, but how to go from your perspective?
Well, after having three games on the road, we were kind of dying to get back for a home game. I think that, the kids were excited to play at home, and we had a good week of practice. Even in the games that we lost, the Beverly and, Marblehead games, there were a lot of positives to pull out of that. The first three quarters of the Beverly game, defensively, we played very, very well. And the second half of the Marblehead game, we played very well offensively. So we tried to put all the pieces together and, make an effort to come out and play four quarters of football on both sides of the ball. Tighten up our special teams, which I felt like we did in that Classical game. It just gave us a little bit of confidence coming down the home stretch here in league play.
Absolutely, and very impressive performance, I think, on both sides of the ball. Let's start with the offense, coach. You got Matt D'Amato back. He looked pretty healthy. And Noah Friedman with a big game. But what I like to see was Eric DeMeo carrying the ball, because if I remember it right, Eric was primarily a blocking back last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, we were lucky to have the luxury of having Dougie Santos for the last couple of years, and didn't really need anybody else really to carry the ball. Eric, predominantly was his blocking back.
Mm-hmm.
This year, looking at the beginning of the season, the way we came out of the gates, we kind of made a decision that if we're not going to have that horse running back, we're going to pass the ball around and make people tackle different types of runners. Noah Friedman, Nick Nelsnick, Jake Daugherty, and obviously Eric DeMeo, much different players. And to tackle each one of them, you have to go about things in different ways. So we're trying to spread the ball around and give everybody carries and make the defense tackle different types of runners on every play.
On defense, I think Classical went for two quarters or more without a first down after their initial drive. What did you guys do that was so successful against Classical?
Well, I think the big thing is we try to take away what they want to do. Their offensive scheme is to do a lot of pulling with their guards and their tackles. And, we spent the week really trying to, keep our guys from, our defensive linemen from being double teamed and knocked back off the line of scrimmage. So kind of quad a lot of the things that Classical wanted to do, which caused them to bounce the ball to the outside where they don't really have the blocking. And, we did some strong tackling from the outside. And when they tried to throw the ball, we had a pretty idea of the route that they wanted to run, and we worked hard on those routes and making sure we could be successful in coverage. And the kids went out and they executed the plan.
I think I saw Nolan Murphy, if I'm not mistaken, little guy, made it some pretty impressive plays on defense. How do you get a guy like that out there, Coach? What's his strength? He's listed as 140 pounds.
Well, I think he's a very good tackler, and as far as pass coverage goes, it's simply repetition.
Mm-hmm.
We run our DBs through multiple drills in pre-practice. We run them through live drills and in practice. And even Marcus Barker, our other safety, Pat McGuire, we don't have anybody that's real big. Having Moise A. Rosari in our defensive backfield is a huge advantage because he is 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
And if someone does have a big receiver, we have the option to put Moise out there to counteract that.
Mark, line play, can you give me a lineman who goes a little bit unnoticed by the crowd on offense and defense, but the coach sees what he does?
Well, defensively, Cam Powers was a great defensive lineman last year for us. We anchored that defensive line. But the play of Dariel Kaneller, a junior defensive tackle that kind of came out of nowhere, worked his tail off this summer and in the weight room all winter, has really become a force inside for us. And the play of our two defensive ends, both seniors, James McCarthy and Brandon Muse, has really elevated our defense. Mm-hmm. In that, it's difficult to get outside of those two guys. They really focus on making teams turn the ball in, which brings us to our strengths, which I've always thought are our linebacking core of DeMeo, Eric DeMeo, Dig Doherty, and Francisco Mendoza.
Yeah.
And if they can turn the ball in, I think we have a pretty good chance. That's where our best tacklers are going to be scraping to. And I think, you know, I think our defensive line has been a huge key to the fact that, you know, we've pitched, you know, two shutouts this year, held Beverly scoreless for three quarters. You know, whenever our defense plays well, a lot of it hinges around our defensive line and our linebackers.
Absolutely.
When they choose to throw, you know, like you had mentioned, you know, Nolan Murphy, Marcus Bakker, Pat McGuire, Cedric Gutierrez, Moise Irizarry, these guys have done a wonderful job in coverage. A lot of it, again, because of the work that, you know, our defensive back coach, Steve Lamazny and Davey Betancourt, do with those guys on a daily basis.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about. That's pretty impressive. Coach, before we take a look at Lynn English and wrap this thing up, what's your reaction to the Beverly Marblehead game? I was a little surprised by the score.
Well, I think Marblehead's offense is superior to a lot of teams, especially on the North Shore. And they're making two, three, sometimes four different reads on every play. Generally, when you play most teams, you try to shut down a certain aspect of their offense. With Marblehead, it's very difficult to do that because they have basically two pass options and two run options almost on every play that they run. So you have to cover the entire field when you play Marblehead. You can't make any mistakes. And in high school football, you know, over the course of a drive, you're gonna have some breakdowns, and Marblehead's real good at finding those and exploiting them.
For sure. All right, now, Lynn English, having a little bit of a problem getting started this year. What do you see from them coming up?
They're a scary team. I mean, I think their record is 1-4, but you watch the film. I mean, I believe they were winning going into the fourth quarter against Beverly.
Yes, they were.
The score wasn't indicative of that game until I watched the film. I said, my goodness, this wasn't a one-way show here. I mean, Lynn English gave it, you know, put it up. Beverly got some big-time breaks in that game to pull that game out in the fourth quarter. They played Danvers real, real tough. I mean, they got a front five that I think is very formidable. You know, anytime you play a Lynn team, whether it's classical or English, they're always gifted with very athletic players. Kids that can run, kids that can move, that are very agile, that can go up for a ball, and, you know, they're tough kids. So, I mean, even before the Glasgow game, I warned our guys that, you know, these kids are going to be tough, athletic kids. We get a rise to the occasion, and, you know, coming into this week against Lynn English, there's nothing different.
So the focus this week is to pay attention to what does the Belichick say? Do your job, keep the kids on the same page?
Well, that's been our thing. You know, ever since we played, we lost our first game to Detroit, we've really challenged our kids to go out and win your individual battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of high school football is, you know, one on one. Whether it's an offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman, or a guard against a linebacker, or a wide receiver trying to block a defensive back, and vice versa. I mean, you always have those individual battles going on. And that's why I think football is a great sport. One person doesn't do their job, the machine can break down.
Yeah.
And the focus of trusting each other and trusting the scheme and not getting down just because of one play, and, you know, weathering a storm when a quarterback gets hot and completes three or four balls in a row, and just knowing that, you know, the bottom line is to play the best you can as an individual, and win those individual fights during the course of a game. And if we all focus on that at the end of the day, if we win more individual battles than they do, then we have a better chance of lighting up the scoreboard.
So how are you liking this gig now, full-time coaching as a head coach now? What is this, your third year now?
This is my, fourth season.
Fourth
now.
Year,
I'm into my fourth year. What a difference being a head coach, especially in football. You know, in a baseball scene, you know, some of my coaches have to miss practice for different reasons. So almost by myself and get through that day.
Mm-hmm.
Football, you're relying on so many different people. My defensive coordinator, Bob Murphy, and I have such a great relationship in that, you know, I don't touch his defense, he doesn't touch my offense. And, you know, we kind of work independently. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, we've got to make sure we trust each other. You know, our special teams Coach Jeff Agito, the job that he does with our special teams, and whenever we have meetings, there's a lot of respect there because you have to rely on each other. One person can't run the show. I know Bill Belichick's a great coach, and I respect the heck out of him, but even he's going to depend on other people with certain aspects of practice, of scheme, and of running a game.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you the truth, it's been a great experience.
Yeah, and I guess I want to keep you, Coach, but your captains have to help out in that aspect too, don't they?
And that's one thing that you can tell when you have a good team. The leadership of your captains, the pre-practice drills, they're making sure the guys are out there, making sure that if we start practice at 3:30, they're lined up and ready to go. Their behavior in the school, their behavior in the community, it all revolves around leadership. It all revolves around kids that are role models and that kids can trust and look up to. And this year our captains have been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Matt D'Amato back behind center, I think it was a confidence boost for our team. DeMeo and Daugherty both now playing both ways pretty much the entire game without coming off the field. I think inspires our younger kids to be the best that they can be and to follow those guys almost as role models, not so much as captains, but as people that they can look up to.
Excellent. Final comment, Coach. How is Doug Santos doing?
Doing very well. We talk just about every night. He's doing well in Assumption. He's starting to figure out the offense. He's having a little bout with fumbleitis right now. He's had a couple of fumbles the last couple of games. But overall, couldn't be happier. He's going to class. He's getting an education. The first one in his family to do so. And the football aspect, he loves the coaching staff. He loves his teammates. He's roommates with the wide receiver from Pingree. So he's got a real close friend there that he's with every day. And he's understanding the importance of not just football, but education and expanding his horizons, not just as an athlete, but as a student. And, I think he could be happy with his choice and everything's worked out well for him.
All right, that's Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. And we're back here at the Peabody Memorial Field as it's senior night here in Peabody, and there are about 20 or 30 more senior football players to be announced. So I think it's a safe bet to say this game will probably start a little bit later than it's supposed to. Coach Paul Ingram is with me, and Coach, of course, four Super Bowl trips, three wins, and a few other wins along the way as an assistant coach. But, Paul, just looking around the league a little bit here, Danvers and Beverly, a big game tomorrow, but Gloucester in another title game tonight. Surprisingly, it's a surprise to me anyway, Salem can tie for first place if they beat Gloucester at Bertram Field tonight.
Well, they haven't beaten them in quite a while, but it would be certainly a nice Halloween gift for Salem if they could. They're playing better, and I don't think anybody expected them to play as well, this year. And I watched the game against Swampscott, and they certainly were the real thing. I know I talked to some of the Gloucester coaches, and they feel like they might have a good team on their hands tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Gloucester's, strong. Their running game's very strong. San Filippo's doing very well as expected. And Salem will have to play well defensively, if you ask me.
Now,
take San Filippo away.
Well, Christian San Filippo is on track to become the all-time leading rusher at Gloucester High School. And you had Connor Russell, who had, 2,400 yards, something like that. And San Filippo didn't become a starter until a third game last year.
Right, yeah. Well, they saw his potential, and they stuck him in, and they had some big, some high-scoring games, and he gained a lot of yardage, and he's worked hard in the off-season. I know that he was very faithful to the weight room, and I believe the track program, he got faster there, too, which I believe always helps. If you can get a couple of seasons in with track, they'll improve your speed. So he's worked hard and is very deserving, and what I understand, he's a great kid.
Mm-hmm. Now, you we talk about some of the kids that you used to have who come back, either as former players, as college students, or as adults and so on. Do you know any other players from around the league over the past, like maybe from them? I mean, obviously the Bavaro brothers are two names that come to mind that you have kept in touch with. Is there anybody else around, Paul, that you know, from maybe another school that you might know?
Well, I actually did follow Chris Carroll. My daughter works at Bentley, and Chris went to Bentley and played defense there, so I know he certainly played against us, so I followed him a little bit. Tony Ficello's kids, actually, I stayed in touch with through Facebook and followed them a little bit, too. Yeah,
they helped launch MSO, by the way.
When
Tim Kearns and I were first doing our Monday night show, yeah, they would call in and talk about Winthrop High School. It was great. It was excellent. So great young men. Glad to hear that.
And I still see a lot of the Gloucester kids, and they stay in touch, and they're very faithful and loyal to me and give me a call, and I'm always excited to hear what they're doing now. And I think part of the Gloucester Police Force is actually a lot of former players at Gloucester High School football. So I see some locally, and some have moved on.
Again, we're going to be a little bit late here. The seniors are still being introduced down on the field. It is seniors and their families, as it is senior night here in Peabody, and we'll get this game between Lynn English and Peabody underway in just a little while. And the thing that amazes me too, Paul, is first of all the fraternity of coaches, the fraternity of athletic directors, and I guess the fraternity of assistant coaches, because assistant coaches in many situations will be working in one school system but coaching in another. So there's an overlap of knowing who the kids are, and in the long run, I mean, you've got the competition on the field during the game, but in the long run, I think that has to be a good thing.
Well, it is. It's sometimes tough to teach in one school system and coach in another. I know Roger Day has done it, and I did it for a while, too. It's just so different now. When I first started coaching, which was in the early 70s, all your staff were teachers at the schools, in the school system. And I mean, I can't think of one that wasn't. And you actually could go to different schools. If you weren't happy at a school, you could get a job, possibly as a teacher and a coach at another school. But things are very different now. A lot of the staff comes from other schools, and a lot of the staff really are not in schools at all. I mean, they have jobs that allow them to get free in the afternoon to do the coaching. And, you know, in a way, a lot of teachers just don't want to coach. And I think it's kind of sad, because they really are the best ones to keep tabs on the kids. I always said that, you know, when you're coaching, you have leverage on the kid at school.
Yeah.
You can control a lot of how their behavior and their academics go, because they love the sport usually, and they really want to play, and they don't want to be ineligible.
Right.
So.
Oh yeah, it's a definite advantage.
And it's very difficult to know what's going on in the heart of the school when you're not there. You're just showing up at practice every day. And, you know, I know I did it for a few years when I was at Danvers. I wasn't a teacher there. And you'd get hit with these things that, you know, were non-football issues that you had to take care of before practice even started. So,
all right. Well, let's see. We're down to about four players being introduced and their families on senior night. So we're getting closer to kickoff between Lynn English and Peabody High School. Now, Lynn English comes in with a record of 1-4 overall. And again, let's just review this. They opening game, an overtime loss to Swampscott. Second game, St. Mary's, which is certainly one of the top teams in the region, beat the Bulldogs by a score of 38-12. And then Lynn English rebounded against Winthrop, winning that game by 2 points. That's their only win so far, 27-25. The Beverly game, they were in charge until late in the game in the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing by 10, but they were the masters for most of that game. And then Danvers, not such a great performance, as you heard Chris Carroll say. They went back to basics after a 26-0 loss. So English with potential, and looking to put it all together tonight. Now, Peabody, meanwhile, following a similar path, except they have won two games. They're 1-2 in the league. They opened up with a very tough loss to what everybody knows now is a really good Triton team by 25-15. And then they beat Malden 7-0 before losing to Beverly by 3 points, a game that Peabody could have won, and a lot of coaches, people think they probably should have won. Then Marblehead hosted the Tanners, and that was a tough one, 33-14 loss. And then last week, Paul and I saw Peabody really put it together, and that was a good win from start to finish, and a complete game on both sides of the ball, winning 28-0.
Well, yeah, Peabody, I'm a little shocked that they haven't won more games. You know, and also Lynn English, you get some tough losses, boy. It really takes the heart and soul out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And difficult to bounce back. That Beverly game must have been something, you know, going into the fourth quarter that strong. And then, you know, but Peabody has scored 70, only 78 points this season and let up 73. And Lynn English has really had a problem stopping people. They've given up 124 points and scored 61. So offensively, both teams are struggling a little bit, but English is really struggling defensively. And listening to Coach Carroll, he said it's the big play. You know, third and long, and they're giving up big plays, and you know, it's hard to bounce back from that, too.
Well, we're just about ready now, as the seniors have had their pictures taken, and we're the family still down to our left. And as Paul was mentioning, I think, before the game started, Peabody has some good numbers. They've got a lot of participants in this on the field, and they had a little bit of a dip a few years ago, and it seems like they're right back up now.
Yeah, they... I can't believe how many seniors got introduced, and also how many guys were still left on the sideline to watch them.
I know.
So they have good numbers, and... you know, you need them in football. I know 11 only play, but you have a tendency to get injuries, and you need a couple of backups for every position.
Well, I saw an Everett game here last year against Peabody where they had three units of 11 on offense. They just rolled them in, took them out, rolled them in. It was unbelievable. It was like, I don't know, I've never seen that before.
Well, you have that luxury. Kenny Perrone actually used to do that. He'd have five offenses warming up prior to the game.
That.
Remember that round
the
field?
It's like watching a clinic. Well, we're still a little bit of ways. We'll have to take another break here before we get started. It looks like the players are getting back to the team, getting their helmets. The captains, at least from Lynn English, are out at the center of the field, and now the Peabody captains will be ambling over there as well. So we'll have the toss of the coin here very soon, and we'll be getting underway. Only a couple of minutes late at this point, not too bad. Again, over on Channel A, you have... Tim Kearns, Steve Krause sitting in for Tim Kearns, rather, and Bill Newell calling the play-by-play for you as Marblehead is at Lynn Classical. That's our video broadcast game tonight. And then our big game tomorrow at 2:30 will be Danvers at Beverly. That is a radio game only.
Rick, I have the power ratings here for Division 1A if people are interested. And this goes by enrollment. 1A, Lincoln Sudbury, number one. Reading number 2, Chelmsford number 3, Malden Catholic 4, Peabody 5 with a power ranking of 9, then Westford Academy, North Andover, Cambridge, Woburn, English at a power rating of 5.8, and then Classical and Revere. So English and Classical are struggling this year, and it's showing in the power ratings here.
Okay, so we will take a break and get back to tonight's ball game. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com, and we have Lynn English and Peabody football coming right up for you in just a couple of minutes, so stand by.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Alrighty then, very nice big choral presentation of the national anthem here at Peabody High School. And we're just about ready to go. So, Lynn English, 1-4, Peabody 2-3.
That was impressive.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, very well done.
Alright, so Lynn English will be receiving the ball to start. And
most teams now that are winning the toss are deferring to the second half and letting the other team take the ball, which the Patriots did.
Mm-hmm.
And not they that I set the pace, but I always did that too. I let the offense, which I think is the hardest to execute at the beginning of the game, let them go out and prove themselves and trying to get yourself good field position if you force them to punt.
I think it's been amazing the way the Patriots have done that and then scored last possession of the half and then scored first possession of the next half. That's crazy.
What's interesting is they're not kicking the ball in the end zone anymore.
Isn't that cool?
Right,
yeah. And they're coming up short of the 20, never mind the 25. Okay, so we'll be underway here as Peabody will be kicking off from right to left. Peabody kicker is their quarterback, Matt D'Amato. He's a senior. He's a good-sized kid, 6 foot, 170. And he is a right-footed soccer-style kicker. Boots it. It's a pretty good line drive that hits at the 20-yard line. Gets past the English receiver, has to retreat back to the 7-yard line. And running around to the left side, getting almost nowhere, is John Cosmas. So Cosmas is stopped, it looks like, just short of the 10-yard line. Oh, my.
Well, what happens is you can't, it's hard to judge a football the way it's going to bounce, and it took a couple of low bounces and then bounced in front of him right over his shoulder.
Not only that was very similar to a knuckleball with a baseball. The football was sort of knuckling to get there, and then it did take that crazy bounce, and Cosmas had a real hard time with it and did a good job to get it back to close to the 10. So it is first and down for Lynn English. Mason Jones is their center. Frank Perry, Kent Pena are the guards. Brian Nunez, Jocelyn Simon are the tackles. Matt Severance, sophomore quarterback for the Lynn English Bulldogs. We'll have to see who the receivers are. They move in a lot of guys. Jason Gonzalez is split to the right. Now you've got the pistol formation with your quarterback, Severance. I think it's Severance.
Severance is a sophomore, I believe.
Yeah, he's a sophomore. He's a left-handed passer. Throws it complete at the 15-yard line and dropped right there. Jason Gonzalez had it.
Talk about open.
Yep, and he had a knee down on the ground and just dropped it. So
right, open.
Second and 10 for Lynn English. They are moving from left to right. They're at their own 9-yard line. We're just underway here at Peabody. The bright, big full moon right over one of the light stanchions as the color guard heads over to Peabody High School off on the far side. As with most football fields now, just stands on one side and they're packed. Peabody up front. James McCarthy, Cam Powers, Dan Canella, Brandon Muse, their front line. And Coach Betancourt heaping praise on the linebackers, Jake Darty, Eric DeMeo, and Francisco Mendoza as his stalwarts. Again, they are spreading the field with Gonzalez in motion. Severance keeps it. Bang! He is pummeled at the 14-yard line after about a 5-yard gain. Looked like Pat McGuire was in on that tackle. He's a senior.
Well, they went empty. They put the lone running back in motion. And what it is a matchup. You try to get as many people out of the box as you can. Actually, it takes them a long time to call a play. I don't know if you're realizing that, Rick, but they're in their huddle.
Good point. Good point, Paul. Yeah, the first one gave me plenty of time to set the defense, and it doesn't usually happen. All right, so two receivers out to the left side, ball midway between the hash marks, and one receiver to the right. Big rush by the Peabody Tanners. Severance has time, fires it, intercepted at the 26-yard line. Return to the 20 and down right there. I think that's McCarthy. What's the number? 82?
82.
All right, so that is Mosey Irizarry, also praised by Coach Betancourt. Irizarry returns it to the 20-yard line, and that's a huge turnover for the Tanners right away.
Well, he overthrew it, and overthrowing the ball in the middle of the field is disastrous.
Well, now, great opportunity for the Tanners to take an early lead. They call it the red zone. They're right at it at the Lynn English 20-yard line to start their first possession of the night. I believe last week, didn't they start off with a bunch of penalties?
Yes.
In that game, as I recall, DeMeo is the lone running back deep in the backfield. Darty gets a pitch from the end around, and he stumbles forward for about 3 yards, maybe four to the 21. See where they put it.
Just about every game we've covered, Rick, the defense has been an odd front with someone covering the center. Well, this is a little different this week. It appears that English is an even defense, and there's no one covering the center.
Caught a 3-yard gain to the 17. I formation stacked up behind quarterback Mac DeMeo. Back last week after an injury with a wing to the left. Handoff to the tailback. Running around and getting nowhere, really. I think that's Noah Friedman.
Well, they ran that tight slot, Peabody did, and last week we saw Classical get around the corner. And what the English did is they took the defensive end, stood him up, and crashed right down in between the slots so they couldn't block him. And secondary came up, and really good defensive play.
Yeah, Friedman lost 2 yards back to the 19. And so it's third and nine.
Formation to the other side with the eye.
Yep. High formation with one receiver to the right. Handoff counterplay to the left. Darty hits the line of scrimmage, breaks a tackle, breaks free inside the 15 to the 13. Short of the first down, but looked like he was going to be stopped well before that.
Right,
second effort by Darty.
Right. Big backs. Peabody has...
Darty's at the 13.
How big is Darty?
Six-yard gain. Well, let me get the stats here on Darty. 5'11", 195. Call it 200.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got a slot off to the right side. DeMeo is the fullback. And I think we have a timeout being called here. By whom?
I think it's English. Is it?
Well, we're not getting any indication. I'm looking at our referee. Here's the signal now. And it is on Lynn English. The timeout being assessed to Lynn English.
They didn't like the alignment of their defense on the offensive formation, so he called timeout.
Referee is Joe Donovan. Rob Nardone's the umpire. Jeff Bryson, the line judge. Bob Albrecht, the linesman. Back judge is Gary Donahue.
Now the formation's different.
At the clock is Phil Brody. Hand off. Oh, no. Play action complete. On the pass to DeMeo, and he scores. Touchdown.
Well, they put the fullback in the flat. Had the wing back and the tight end run off the corner and the outside linebacker, and then the fullback, no one picked him up. They had three receivers in that area.
13-yard touchdown. Peabody takes an early 6-0 lead. And that is DeMeo from D'Amato. And we have 8:10 left to go first quarter. And D'Amato will line it up for the extra point. And everything looks good from here. And it is. So it's 7-0. Peabody. Short drive. They were given a short field after the Irizarry interception. 4 plays, 20 yards. And, Coach, I don't know that that ever happened to you very often, but you get behind the eight ball early on, and you're in an away game, kind of takes a little bit out of the... does it mess up your game plan, or you just go back and start over again?
Well, I mean, it's early, so, you know, you can't change... I wouldn't change anything, but it's too bad because they actually did a good job defensively. They came out in a slot formation, and English called timeout, and English adjusted their defense, but Peabody came out in a different formation the second time, and he got that fullback in the flat. He's tough to cover because you got to stop the run, and sometimes it puts you in a dilemma. You come up to stop the run, and he goes out in the flat. So that's creating what's called a conflict for the linebacker.
Cosmos is back deep along with Traquan Minter. No, that can't be right. 24. I must have that number wrong. He's a freshman. But D'Amato will put the foot into it, and it's going to come down to Cosmos at the 13-yard line. Right hash mark goes to the left hash mark. Puts the brakes on, tries to cut it back the other way. Stopped at the 20-yard line.
Yeah, generally you can't put the brakes on. The way he ran it, it looked like they had a return. So a lot of different times on kickoffs, you can have outside returns and a middle return. We used to trap block off the kickoff along a sideline, and we'd only block 3 guys. The rest of them you let go. Seemed to work when you had backs like Jason Thompson and Adam Orlando. Yeah. And
put the ball back at the 17, so I guess his progress was stopped before he got to the 20. Ball on the far hash mark again in the white uniforms, all white with the big E on the helmet. Left-handed quarterback Severance looks left, looks right, goes left, and falls down after being hit at the line of scrimmage. That looked like a messed up play. So, let's see. In fact, he loses a yard back to the 16. So it will be second down and 11 for Lynn English. Coach Chris Carroll, in his second season for the Lynn English Bulldogs, his record overall, 6 wins, 10 losses to date. Peabody's Matt Betancourt, Mark Betancourt, 19-19 overall as the football head coach. This time you've got your twins out to the right side, one running back in the backfield. Severance will keep it. Running play, gets some good yardage, breaks through, gets across the 20 to the 23. Short of the first down, but positive yardage.
Certainly a lot on Severance's shoulders. Either he's thrown the ball or he's carried the ball.
And remember, he's a sophomore. 7-yard gain, and so it will be 3rd and 5 for the Bulldogs. They're going to split J.C. Gonzalez way out wide to the right with 2 receivers off to the left side. Severance will run once again, and he'll be stopped at the line of scrimmage. No gain. English will have to punt. Wow. Right side of that Peabody line just closed things up. So no gain. And let's see. 6, total of 4 yards. 10 yards so far. 10 yards for English. 24 Peabody. So it will be a punt. Doug Guevara. He's a right-footed kicker. Gets a good high punt that's going to come down to the 45-yard line. Return to the 50 and just across the 50 to the 52 or 48.
Good coverage.
All right, so the return is Gutierrez, and it's 1st and 10 for Peabody at the 49-yard line of Lynn English. Tanner's leading 7-0, thanks to an interception and then capitalizing on the interception. Deep in Lynn English real estate. So 1st and 10 now for Peabody. As again, it's a offset eye formation. Look at that. Friedman stopped for a loss, a big loss. Tackled by Perry. Frank Perry.
Well, except for the pass
53,
play.
Oh, 53, I'm sorry. It was Mason Jones, linebacker.
Except for the pass play for the touchdown, I mean, English has looked pretty quick on defense. I always feared quickness more than size. And they're really attacking the offense of Peabody.
5 yard loss.
Well, they got every up, and it looks like they're playing man to man in this formation. That's why
everybody
going to
throw
the ball.
Scrimmage. It's a pass. It is complete to the 49 yard line, and it's going to be a first down return across the 40 to the 37 yard line.
Well, the way their alignment on defense, you can tell that Peabody had a wing and a tight end on the far side and a tight end on this side. And you can tell by their alignment, they're man-to-man, and they're attacking with their linebackers.
Brandon
what
News.
You generally do is run crossing patterns and against man-to-man, and they did that, and he was wide open.
Brandon Muse, with the reception, gets it down to the Bulldogs' 37-yard line. So that is a 17-yard gain. First and 10, Peabody. They're on the far hash mark. They're in the blue jerseys, white pants, moving from right to left. Here's another pass. And this is almost caught. Almost a spectacular diving catch by Muse. It just bounced off his hands as he and the ball hit the turf at the same time.
Well, English has 8 in the box. And I guess Peabody's saying, maybe we can't run against that, so we're just going to throw against it. And they are getting people open.
Yeah, so far. And they have the touchdown pass. To DeMeo from D'Amato. D'Amato is the quarterback. They've got a wing off to the right side. Everybody else in tight. That's Darty in motion from right to left. Play action. D'Amato wants to throw. Fires it. Tip. And caught. No, it's
incomplete.
It was tipped by the defense in and out of the hands of Muse at the 30-yard line. Would not have been a first down, but it would have been a great catch.
Well, the defender came in front, right, Rick?
Yep, yes.
Trouble seeing and
Tipped it.
Tipped it. Otherwise, it would have been an interception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had it. I think the timing was off just a tad. 4:42 left to go, first quarter. Peabody leading 7-0. On a beautiful football night. Temperature in the upper 40s right now. D'Amato straight back to pass. Dumps it off to DeMeo in the backfield. To the 35, to the 30, to the 25. And pulls over a tackler to the 17-yard line. First down.
Generally, as a coach, a defensive coach, anything third or fourth and long, your defensive ends have to really check for screen. And their defensive ends, English just came right in on the quarterback, and the screen was wide open.
Well-executed screen with DeMeo going to his left after the play action. High formation, once again, pass rolling to his right. D'Amato completes it to DeMeo again at the 20. Inside the 15 and on the sideline at around the 13-yard line. Another completion from D'Amato to DeMeo.
You make sure I get that right.
I know. Okay. It is where they put the ball at, right at the 13. So it's about a 6-yard gain. And Peabody continues to go air ball. My. 340s. Peabody throwing the ball.
Well, it's because of the way the defense is lined up.
But I was just thinking of Art Adamopoulos when we used to broadcast from across the way. Once again, D'Amato puts the brakes on. Holds the ball like a loaf of bread. Fires it complete right at the yard marker. And that's DeMeo again. He may have the first down. What a play by D'Amato. To DeMeo. I said it right, didn't I?
I don't know.
D'Amato's the quarterback.
DeMeo's the
Muse. That was Muse. Muse got the catch. 84, not 44. Thank you. So it's 84 with the completion. First down. And it's first and goal at the 9-yard line. Terrific play by the quarterback, though. Penalty flags fly as we have a run play for a couple of yards.
Generally, it's in that area where it's going to be holding.
Okay. It's holding against Peabody. Now, they had the ball at the 9 on the first and goal. But the hold will bring it back. And it comes out to the 18-yard line. So, again, Peabody taking over after a punt by Lynn English from at their own at the English 49-yard line. Peabody now has a first and goal from the 18. The model shoots it over the middle. Oh, he had Darty for a step, and he also had a receiver off to the left. But it's incomplete. That looked like a Mosey Irizarry in the vicinity as well.
Looked like a post route where see if it goes down about 7 yards and then angles towards the goal post.
Four, five, six, seven, eight passes so far for the Tanners quarterback. And I believe he's got five of them complete. I'll have to double check that. Once again, DeMato way back in the backfield. Fires it over the middle. It is complete on the right hash mark to about the 7 yard line. Who caught that one?
That was.
What do you got for a number there?
21.
That was 21. That's Cedric Gutierrez.
That was a zone defense, and the receiver just went down and found the soft spot in the zone and stopped and stationary target.
Third and goal, and it's going to be a touchdown as Darty rips it in. Was that a pass I was writing?
It was a pass.
Pass from D'Amato to Darty, and Peabody scores on a long third down play. 13-0 Peabody. Wow. So, that is an 11-play, 49-yard touchdown drive, and it's now 13-0 Peabody with 2:11 left in this first quarter. Two touchdown passes by D'Amato, and he will attempt the extra point. Bangs it through, and it's 14-0.
I would say that English came in with the idea that they were going to force Peabody to throw, and Peabody has thrown and successfully. They really, put eight in the box and sometimes nine, and the tight formations, the play-action passes have worked versus the man-to-man, and then when they got behind schedule here, they went with a spread offense and found seams and hit receivers, so give PBD credit with their passing attack.
54, I'm counting, 58, 68. Well, D'Amato right now, 7 out of 10 for 68 yards in the first quarter.
And he's hit all kinds of passes. I mean, stationary targets, moving targets, screen passes.
So it's 14-0 with 2:11 left to go in the first half. And once again, D'Amato kicks off. And this time it's going to come up short to a receiver for Peabody, English at the 28, returned to about the 40. I'm not sure who the number is, what number is there. Thank you, number 32 returns it, and that is Isaac Ramirez. He's a junior. Best field position of the night to start a drive now for Lynn English at their own 40. 2:06 left to go for a first quarter. Now, needless to say, Bulldogs need to put something together here, get their act together. But Paul Peabody's picked up right where they left off last week.
Yeah, they seem to know what they want to do and do it well.
Mm-hmm. Quarterback severance, left-handed thrower, plenty of time. It's tipped up in the air and intercepted by DeMeo at the 44-yard line. What an athletic move by the big guy.
Right. Yeah, he's certainly looks like a football player, and he plays like one.
DeMeo tipped it. He went way up in the air to tip it. He fell down and then got up as the ball was coming back down and caught the ball with one knee on the ground at the Lynn English 46-yard line.
You know, Rick, you hate to be critical, but Severance, the young man's a sophomore, and he seems like he's their whole offense, and it's a lot to put on a young kid's shoulders at this level.
Yeah, so far the running backs have not handled the ball.
They haven't
at
touched
all.
The ball.
Nope. Cosmos ordinarily is your running back.
Now they're stacking the line of scrimmage again in the plate. Well, then a fullback trap.
Yep, DeMeo right up the middle.
Well, they got
for about four.
They got 10, within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage defensively.
They're going to put it at the.
And Severance is playing defense also.
3-yard gain for DeMeo. And again, Eric DeMeo Jr., big blocking back last year for Doug Santos. 1:34 left to go in first quarter, 14-0 Peabody.
Now they're on balance line.
Hand off right side. There goes Noah Friedman. He squirts loose into the secondary. First down at the 34-yard line of Lynn English.
So they went guard tackle to the left center. Guard tackle, tight end, split end, and wing back. So they were on balance line, which out leverages the defense sometimes if they don't adjust. If they just stay stationary, you get angles.
Jacob Miller.
Unbalanced this side now.
Okay, this time Friedman is dumped right at the line of scrimmage, no game.
They're not trying to get to the outside with that. They're trying to run inside with that unbalanced line. I'm not sure why.
Trying to set the linebackers again. Up front, it's Frank Perry, Brian Nunez, Jocelyn Simon for Lynn English on defense. And in the linebackers, they've got Jacob Miller, Jose Matul, and Mason Jones. Defensive backs, Nicky Dong, Cody Rourke, Jonathan Cosmas, and Doug Guevara. 36 seconds, clock is moving. Very strong first half for the Peabody Tanners as they come out of the huddle. Cam Powers, I believe, is breaking them out at center. And no, it's a play action. This time, D'Amato under duress. He's scrambling, holding on to that ball like it's a loaf of bread, throws it across the green. Doherty comes back for it, catches it at the 15, reverses direction and scores. Oh, my. I don't think they drew it up that way, but it worked.
Well, he was wide open. I mean, D'Amato was scrambling around, and the secondary of English kind of said, well, you know, we got him, and they let Doherty get behind him, and D'Amato found him.
Third touchdown pass of the first quarter for DeMeo. Second for Doherty, scoring from this time 34 yards out.
I think it was D'Amato.
Hmm? Doherty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
D'Amato threw the ball.
Threw the ball. That's correct. Third touchdown pass. Thank you. And D'Amato adds the extra point. So D'Amato with three touchdown passes, two to Jake Doherty in this first quarter with 11 seconds left to go. It's 21-0 Peabody. Wow.
Well, I think you're right, Rick. Arthur Adamopoulos.
This is not your Arthur Adamopoulos team. I don't think they threw a ball many times in a season back then. 8 out of 11, 3 touchdowns, and 114 yards in the air for D'Amato in the first quarter. Good heavens. My. So, 20, 49, 69... 115 total yards right now for the Tanners. 114 in the air. So we'll kick off again with 9 seconds left, and it's been a shell shock Lynn English team right now as they have aired it out, the Peabody Tanners have. This time it's a line drive, and who has it? Cosmas does, back at his 13. Goes straight upfield along the hash mark to the 20-25. Stop short of the 30-yard line. And that will take care of the first quarter. Big first quarter for the Peabody Tanners as they lead it by a score of 21-0. We'll be back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
3 first-half touchdowns in the air, 3 first-quarter touchdowns in the air by the PB Tanners have propelled them to a 21-0 lead as they are working on all cylinders now after a sort of a a hiccuping start at the beginning of the season. Now Lynn English takes over at their own 27-yard line to start the second quarter. Two interceptions have been really hurtful for the Bulldogs early on in this game. So Severance now is the quarterback with an upback, and Severance was under center. This time it's a handoff. Nice run play, and they get some good yardage.
Right.
Positive yardage for the first time tonight, Miguel Ramos with the carry.
You gotta, you just can't try and get back in one or two plays. You gotta work the ball down the field and get some confidence. So they went to the I formation there with a quarterback under center and let the tailback run the ball off tackle.
And he gets 6 yards. Want to say hi to Tim Kearns. Tim is listening, I'm guessing, to both games. Hey, Coach. Riding his bike somewhere under the moon. And Tim off tonight. He'll be back with us on Monday night on North Shore Sports Night. Steve Krause filling in for Tim Kearns over on Channel A. Once again, we have the I formation with Severance under center and two receivers in tight to the right. And it's a play action. Severance, the left-hander, puts the brakes on. Now he throws it long, high, and deep. And it just beyond the outstretched fingertips of Nicky Dong at the 30-yard line of Peabody. Almost a big gainer. So now it's third down and four for Lynn English. All right, Coach, I got to look here. I don't believe they have a first down yet. Remember,
you're right.
Peabody did that last week
for
a couple of quarters against Lynn Classical. Yeah, English does not have a first down yet. So the Bulldogs facing a third and four, looking for their first down. They're going to put man in motion is Cosmas. Fumble! And I don't know who has it. If Peabody has it, if English has it, they'll have to punt. Well short of the first down. Yeah, English has it,
right.
But they're still 5 yards short.
Well, they ran I formation. They tried to run that off-tackle play, and there was a defender right after he got the handoff and popped the ball right out and went forward. So,
well,
English was lucky on that.
Yeah, they've given up
been the third turnover, right, Rick?
Short field, yep. They've given it up a couple of times in that short field. So, let's see. 10 and 6 and 0 and...
Boy, they're going for it.
6.
Fourth and 3.
Fourth and 3, and they're at their own 35-yard line. Here's a handoff run play. Not going to get there. Lights out. See you later.
Boy, I disagree with that.
As Miguel Ramos was clobbered way in the backfield.
So now Peabody, who we haven't stopped yet, has got the ball on the 34-yard line.
Another short field.
You really have only had one positive yardage play on offense the whole game. What makes you think you're going to get it on fourth down?
Total offense, 29 yards for Lynn English. Yeah, and they had a long way to go. Big gamble, ball short, and once again, Peabody has the short field. They've started drives, in Lynn English territory all night long, and they've scored three in a row here. So now, split backfield, handoff to Friedman, trying to sweep the left side, cuts it back to the right. Penalty markers are thrown in the region of the defensive backfield after Friedman gets it to the 27. Coming back, holding on Peabody. Another big penalty against the Tanners. Oh, we'll bring the ball back to the Lynn English 44. I want to see if I get a chance here. The Tanners have started at the Lynn English 20, the Lynn English 49, the Lynn English 46, and the Lynn English 34.
That's hard to stop.
Makes it easy for your offense, I guess. Wing, Darty on the right side, play action. Damano looking to his left. He has to run to his right. Scrambling. He's going to keep the ball, go to the 45, to the 40, and out of bounds inside the 40, close to the line of scrimmage, the original line of scrimmage. They've got about 7 or 8.
Well, they try to run a screen to the left, and English covered it. The defensive end was out there, so he had no one to throw the ball to.
Yeah, they get it.
One of the problems with that is you end up with linemen downfield if you do end up throwing the ball. He was smart to carry it.
Yeah, about a 6 or 7 yard gain. So it'll be second down and still 13 to go for Peabody. English now with a chance to bull up and stop the Tanners right here. And right now.
Imbalance line again.
Looks like it's Michael Locke, 53 is the center. He's a sophomore, but he's a big dude. It's 263. Counter play, Friedman wrapped up in the backfield. Good defensive stop by number three, Jacob Miller. So Friedman doesn't get a whole lot, maybe 1 yard to the 37. And so now it's third down, and where's the yard marker over there? Third and 13 or 14 to go, it looks like, across the way. They're going to send Darty wide to the right side. And they're going to have two backs in the backfield with quarterback D'Amato. He is going to fake to the left, go to the right, fires it to the right. Tipped and caught by Darty. It was tipped by McCarthy. It was tipped by McCarthy or Muse. Let me just check the number, 84.
Boy, that's just an unlucky break for English.
Oh, my. Muse tipped it, and Darty caught it behind him another 5 yards downfield. It's fourth down. So it is at the 27, and they have to set the yard marker. Got about a 10-yard gain. So it's
there's some confusion over there with the yard markers.
Yeah, they shouldn't have moved them. They shouldn't have moved the sticks. That was not a first down. It's fourth and a long three. And again, chance for Lynn English to stop the Tanners as it's 21-0, Peabody leading, 7:33 left to go. And Peabody has scored on, I believe, let's see, three straight possessions. First down. Fourth down. Fourth down on the near hash mark. Tanner's moving from left to right. Bulldogs with everybody up the line of scrimmage. Handoff, tailback, picking his way, getting outside. Friedman gets the first down and more. Inside the 10, stutter steps, and bounces forward. Did not go down. He's down at the 2. Looked like he was down before that. His knee didn't go down. We saw that last week. He puts his hand down, maintains his balance, and squirted forward. First and goal, Peabody. What a run by Friedman.
I love to see those old skills of running backs, you know, hit and spin, straight arm. Put the hand down.
Yep.
Get the extra yardage. That was an off-tackle play, and he bounced it to the outside. English lost contained to the outside. Bounced it out and got the first down.
24-yard gain, first and goal from the 3. Split backfield behind the quarterback, and it's a run play. Is it Darty? Who's got the ball?
Darty.
Darty walks into the end. That was weird. Nobody got near him, and he just got...
Right, they kind of like... Got near the end zone, the defense stopped.
He goes in for his third touchdown of the first half. 3-yard run this time. And for Peabody, that is a 5-play, 34-yard touchdown drive. They've scored 4 on 4 consecutive possessions in this first half. And as I said, Doherty's third touchdown, this time it's a run. 5 plays, 34 yards. D'Amato attempts the point after again. And again, it's perfect. Wow. So, 6:38. Left to go. First half, 28-0. Peabody. So again, just recapping, it's three touchdown passes for D'Amato, who in the first half, I don't think he passed on that, did he pass on that series? Yeah, he did. One completion for 11 yards.
Right, it was a tipped one.
That's right. So he is 9 for 12, and let's see, add another, what was that, another 10 yards to his totals. 9 for 12. For 12, 124 yards in this first half. So the Tanners running away with it, 28-0. And there's another boot that's going to come down to the English 20-yard line. And stutter stepping, returning to the 30 and out to about the 35-yard line. Now that is number 24, I believe. Yeah. And that's Traquan Mentor. He's a freshman. So 6:28 left to go, first half. And once again, Lane English will start on its side of the 50 at the 36. What? Wow. That's got to be a joke. My goodness. First play from scrimmage. English runs the ball this time, and they get a few yards wrapped up at the 38, 39-yard line. Is once again, their running back, Miguel Ramos.
Did he say the first quarter?
He said 59 to nothing in the first. That can't be right. That can't be right. That cannot be right. I got to check with Bill Newell. That's over on Channel A. You can listen to it on Channel A. And, wow. That's just hard to believe. Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. Woo! Mercy.
Yeah.
All right, so English with running back getting big yardage now out of the tailback slot out to the 50-yard line. Severance holds onto the ball. I don't know what that was with a guy 10 yards off behind him. What was that, Paul? Like a fake? I don't know.
It was a planned run by the quarterback from shotgun.
So first and 10 for the Bulldogs. Their first down of the night. This time run play doesn't work. Looked like a sweep to the left.
And well, I think it's an option. In
Isaac Ramirez, sophomore.
There's nothing there. I mean, there's no hole.
Ball is at the 49, so they lose 1 yard. So over on Channel A, it is 20. What was it? 20 to nothing, right? Marblehead leading Lynn Classical. This one, it's 28 nothing. Peabody leading Lynn English. This time, J.C. Gonzalez is split to the left side, and Severance is back in shotgun. Ball is tipped again. It's going to be intercepted again at the 47-yard line. Return to the 50, to the 45, 46-yard line.
Well, what Severance is doing is he's really staring at who he's going to throw to. So the defensive linemen, you know, just zone in on his eyes and get in the way of the pass, and they're tipping it. Is that the second or third, Rick, that's been tipped? And I know two have been intercepted, but one of the things that you learn at quarterback is you have to freeze the safety. In other words, you look straight down the field to keep the safety in the middle, and then you find your receivers.
Well, let's see now. Peabody will start at the... Gutierrez got the interception, by the way. Cedric Gutierrez for Peabody. And the ball is at the 43-yard line of Lynn English. So Peabody has not started a drive on its side of the 50 tonight, and this will be their fifth drive. They've scored in the first four. Tailback to Mayo. He cuts it outside, breaks the tackle to the 30, to the 20, driving people away from him inside the 20. He's just flicking people off, Paul.
Right.
And a big, big gain by the big fullback.
He's the guy who used to play for the Redskins, the big fullback.
Say again?
The big fullback that used to play for the Redskins. It kind of reminds me of...
Oh, John Riggins.
Riggins. I knew it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
doesn't he?
Similar running style. Yeah, just bullying people over. It's at the 38, 15-yard gain. Check it, at the 18-yard line, 15-yard gain. I'm sorry, 25-yard gain. I'll get it right. First and 10. Pitch coming to Friedman, and he gets to the line of scrimmage and not much more on the left tackle, over left tackle. See if they get anything. Nope. Give them a yard to the 17. 1 yard gain. Second and 9 for Peabody. Knocking on the door again. My. 28-0. Three touchdown passes by D'Amato. Three touchdowns by Jake Daugherty. Offset eye. Hand off to the second back. Daugherty breaks through. He's going to go all the way and score again. Another touchdown for Jake Daugherty as he weaved his way through. This is a 17-yarder. And it's 34 to nothing.
lot to say. I mean, you're just running at will.
Yep. And they're running at everybody. Never mind Will. 192 yards of offense, and they've had a short field all night long. That is four plays, 43 yards, 3:05 left to go. First half, D'Amato will line up again, and again, he boots it through, and it's 35-0. Well, I don't know what you do now, Coach. Wow.
Well, you just try to get some confidence in moving the ball. Maybe you're not going to score, but you at least need to give the defense a rest and build some confidence in the offensive players.
Well,
I just don't know. You know, it's hard to tell from up here. Is it that much of a physical mismatch that they just can't move the ball? And it appears that it is so far. We'll say there are a lot of freshmen on the Lynn English team. Not all of them are playing, but...
And sophomores, yep.
Yeah, there's not a lot of older...
Well, again, Peabody picking right up where it left off last week, and they were dominant last week against Lynn Classical. And they're just running away with this one. Big full moon over Peabody High School right now on senior night here for the Tanners. And they are just rolling right now. Five possessions, five touchdowns. D'Amato, end-over-end kick. And it's received at the 15, returned to the 20. That's a freshman to the 25. And not a whole lot more from there. As Mentor was the carrier again, the receiver. Traquan Mentor, a freshman. A lot of sophomores, a lot of freshmen on this.
One of the dilemmas you have as a coach, you know, is you try to rebuild and you start playing younger kids, and you know you're going to have to take your lumps with them because it's, you know, physically they usually can't match up with the older kids.
There have been a couple exceptions over the years, and I want to get to that in a minute, Paul. As Lynn English will start at their own 29-yard line with 2:51 left to go in the half, trailing by 35 here in this first half. I formation behind Severance. Long count, and he's going to pitch it to the tailback. Going to sweep it around to the 30-yard line. That's Miguel Ramos. And Ramos gets to the 31. Maybe 1 yard. 2 yards. Talking about young kids, Paul, the exception, I think, of Jim Yunus as a freshman. He was a big kid, right?
Yeah.
And Mark Bavaro, another big kid.
Yeah. Well, those are unique kids. But I'm talking about...
Normal.
You know, and you know, three or four of them in a lineup, it's...
And the development, the kids,
right.
I mean, they don't even have muscles yet.
Right, physically development.
Right.
Physical development is very different between a sophomore and a senior.
Oh, sure. Second down and 8 for the Lynn English Bulldogs. They're at the near hash mark. They've got two receivers split wide to the right. I formation behind the quarterback, Severance, and he is a sophomore, little guy. Hand off to the tailback. Boom, fumble. Down by contact. And I think that was Ramos, the tailback. Yep. Oh, was he hit hard, but they're going to keep the ball in Peabody's hands. Lynn English hands, sorry. My. So, given the line of scrimmage.
These games are hard to coach in, and they're hard to referee in also.
Yeah, and I get that. It's difficult for many aspects. A minute and 20 left to go. English taking their time getting the play. Severance on the far sideline, talking to Coach Carroll. And it's a tough spot. The Bulldogs are in, down by 35-0 in the first half. My. Third down and 11 for Lynn English. Yeah, make it 10. Third and 10. Now back into the shotgun. Severance with wideouts. Two on the left, one on the right. One man in the backfield leaning forward. No call. Severance looks left, throws right. Complete. To the 30-yard line, and maybe one or two more yards afterwards. Isaac Ramirez with the catch.
I think there's going to be linemen downfield. It is a penalty flag anyways.
Ramirez did catch it. Well, I would think if it's against English, Peabody will just say, you know, it's fourth down. Let them punt.
Well, let's see.
We are awaiting the call. Yep.
Right.
Ineligible receiver.
Right.
Joe Donovan, the referee, signaling. patting the top of his head.
I think it was a planned screen pass, which you can have linemen downfield if the ball's caught behind the line of scrimmage. But what happened, it got so delayed that the receiver ended up over the line of scrimmage, so you have to call the lineman downfield.
One first down so far tonight for the Lynn English Bulldogs. And total yardage in the first half for Lynn English is 41. They're going to, well, this time they'll punt. 20 seconds left to go in the first half. Long count. Rivera puts the right foot into it, just gets it away.
Just get it off.
Yep, and it's a nice punt. Gets a English roll at the 40 down inside the 30 to the 28-yard line. 4 seconds left on the clock, and I would hope Peabody takes a knee here. Oh, no, clock runs out. Okay, there we go. So we are 30 minutes gone, and Peabody leading this one by a score of 35-0. We'll take a break, gather some stats, and come back and talk with Phil Brody and Paul Ingram at the half here. 35-0 Peabody over Lynn English. It's halftime.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
All right, we're back at the half, and it's 35-0 as Peabody is leading this one, and it's one of the guys up here in the press box said I wasn't expecting that. And Phil Brody, the clock keeper from the MIAA, an official, is here with us right now. And, yeah, you know what? We can do that and get a little warm, I guess. I'm going to close the windows here. Well, I guess I can't move that one. Why not? That's weird. All right, so anyway, Phil, your thoughts on that first half. I know that you're keeping the clock, and I don't know if you can... keep your eye on the ball field as well, you know, the play.
Yeah, not what I expected. Not coming in here, that's totally a number of turnovers that went the Tanner's way that they they've turned everything into points. And as you had said before, it's nothing that I really expected today. Peabody is fighting, I say, for their proverbial lives, so to speak, to get into the playoffs. You know, after some tough losses in the beginning of the season. They face both Lynn teams in Danvers next week, I believe. But this is these next 2 weeks, this weekend and next weekend, to me, some of the most exciting parts of the season, because this is make or break, and there's some good matchups, and the teams bring their A games.
Well, we saw, last week we saw Peabody put it together and play a great game, so you're right. Now they have a chance to get into the playoffs at this point with two league losses.
They're right on the cusp right now. I can't I can't explain the MIAA format, and I won't
really?
And I won't attempt to. But I did see as I was coming out of the officials' locker room, Peabody had a chart on their wall, and it listed the first, I believe it's the first 16 teams, and they're right on the cusp.
Oh, okay.
Right now. So
yeah, it's a different format this year. I forget that too.
Yeah. There's
a little bit different.
There's league standings as well as points for different opponents and so forth and so on. So they're right there. But I think on the North Shore, we have Marblehead will be a fine representation. I think they could go deep in the playoffs. Beverly should be there. You have Gloucester. Salem is a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So Winthrop, sort of a hard luck team this year. You know, they've got the they have some skilled players, but the depth is a little problem. In the Cape-Ann League, you have Masco, Triton. Quite a pleasant surprise. Pawtucket, North Reading. So, there'll be some fine representation on the North Shore from us.
Okay. I'm just checking a video from the other game. There was an announcement up here that was our video game is the Marblehead Classical game. I think you heard the announcement.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
And it just went dead silent in here. That can't be happening. So
I thought maybe that was a score from last year, or I wasn't sure, but yeah, it didn't sound... That would be quite impressive if they could put up that many points in the first
right.
quarter.
So, Phil, I should mention Phil Brody is up here. I'm sorry, MIAA official who's running the clock. We talk with Phil a lot, and Paul Ingram up here as well, of course, former Gloucester High School football coach. Coach?
Well, I just wondering, a game like this, it's really out of hand. The officials.
Yeah.
I know as a coach, you're in a dilemma, You certainly don't want to tell the kids to take a knee or not try, because, you're going to put the younger kids in, and you want them to, they want to show you something. And but then again, your job is not to destroy somebody else's program either. So I was wondering how the officials perceive this.
Actually, there's a lot of dialogue going on right now between both coaches with the officials, and they get the feel from the coaches, whether they want the game to progress a little more quickly, or how they want. They'll play the way the coaches want it played. So
yeah.
First and foremost is the safety of the players. So that's what we they'll stop any kind of chippiness, stop it right in its tracks. This has been a very clean game.
I saw a game, and I think Paul was coaching at that point, and I can't remember who was playing, but either the second half or the fourth quarter became running time. Can coaches agree to that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It can be done.
Yeah, there's some dialogue that we have, as I've said over the weeks, we have a lot of dialogue with the coaches on the sidelines, and sometimes a coach, will say, could we get this going? Could we get this going? And, he's there for the protection of his players.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that, we pick up the rhythm from the coaches. And they'll dictate to us, how they want the game to go.
Okay. You handed me a piece of paper here before the game starts. You always do. Mm-hmm. Listing the officials. Referee Joe Donovan, Rob Nardone or Nardone?
Nardone.
Nardone is the umpire. Jeff Bryson, the line judge. Bob Albrecht, the linesman. Back judge is Gary Donahue, and you are on the clock. And you mentioned this up here. You want to mention that?
Yes. That's the association. We are...
Of New England Football Officials.
Yes.
ANFO.
ANFO. And you can find us on the web at ANFO.org. It's an organization of high school officials that was formed in 1919. We're coming up on a century mark. We have approximately 300 officials. We meet every Monday night at the Irish American Hall in Malvern, off the Fellsway, and we go over rules, and we have a lot of presentations every week on various plays, various rules, so forth and so on. A lot of video. We're always looking for our new folks that want to be officials. They can just go to our website. And it's a great time. We have on and off the field. There's a lot of camaraderie there that gets to go. we discuss various scenarios. I think the best part that I find is after a game, we'll talk about how, say this game went tonight, and various things. What did we see that was different? And at the meetings, that's what we pass along. We said, what did you see different this week? And
do you, Phil? Do you have access to the films of the games?
No.
Because it's all basically everyone has gone to this huddle, HUDL, and they give you a password or they send you. It may not be a bad idea if you have a situation, where you want to show other officials.
Right.
So you don't have any access to any film?
I personally don't. Maybe part of the board does. Basically, because we're one of two schools in the United, one of the two states in the country that follow NCAA rules, most of our presentations, or mostly all of our presentations, are college games. We try to stay away from the pros because the rules are so much different.
Right. Yeah.
But basically, we go over various types of plays that we run into, and when it becomes a quite unique situation, then we bring it immediately to the forefront and have all the officials go over and make sure go over that play. In the pregame, even before this game, they go through various scenarios, and it's not very uncommon. Even the referee, Joe Donovan, had said to me, okay, he immediately turned at me and said, okay, Phil, fumble out of bounds, forward. What do you do? I said, well, the ball doesn't go out, isn't placed where it goes out of bounds. It's where he fumbled it, and you start the clock on the ready. And if it fumbles it backwards, it's where it goes out of bounds backwards, and you do it on the snap. So, we're always put on.
Losing each other.
Yeah, we want to make sure we're all awake and not sleeping before the game.
I got a friend who was, his son played high school hockey, and the minute he got out of high school hockey, he was going to, I think, Salem State, so he was commuting, and he wanted to become a hockey official, and he did, as a college person. So young people can aspire to this as well?
Yes. Once you're right out of high school, we haven't seen many in high school, but right out of high school, actually there was the young gentleman, C.J. Kahn, that was here last week. I guess time has flied. My memory isn't as good. He's been here 8 years, and he's a college official. He's Division III, but he came in right out of high school. His dad's been doing it for over 30 years, and he was a natural fit, and we like a guy like him because he can run a lot.
Okay. Phil, any final thoughts? I got to take a break here before we get back to the second half.
Just enjoying the game, and
you'll be in Beverly tomorrow.
Yes, Beverly and Danvers should be quite a battle.
All right.
Love this webcast.
Love the what?
Love this webcast.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for your help, Phil, as always. That's Phil Brody. He's an MIAA official, and we've seen him many times. A lot of fun to talk with. And up here on the clock, and again, the schools have the option of hiring an MIAA official to run the clock or having their own person do it. We will take a break, come back, give you the second half lineup, and give you the stats of the first half. You're listening to MSO News Sports from Peabody High School. 35-0, Peabody leading Lynn English. No, I'm never been on the floor.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews, seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
Well, we're back at the half, 35-0. Peabody is leading Lynn English as Peabody returns to the field. And I can't figure out how to get these scores from Twitter. Bill can do it, and everybody in the world can do it, and I can't do it. I'm trying to get the scores, and I'm not able to. So I'll have to work with Bill Newell on that. Peabody leading 35-0. They scored in their first five possessions of the half. And just running it down for you very quickly. First score was a pass from quarterback D'Amato to DeMayo. I believe they're both Mats, aren't they? M-A-T-T-S. No, Eric DeMayo from Matt D'Amato. And they scored four more times after that. And as I'm getting the equipment ready here, I got to shut the music off once again. Three first quarter touchdown passes. The second one, D'Amato hooked up with Jake Daugherty, making it 14-0. That was an 11-yarder. I'll check it, an 8-yarder. And then a 34-yarder from D'Amato to Daugherty. 21-0 at the first quarter. Mark Daugherty, a 3-yard touchdown run in the second quarter, followed by a 17-yard touchdown run, 35-0. 200 yards of offense for Peabody, 41 for Lynn English. And the Bulldogs have to give it up right here to start the second half, as they'll be kicking off from right to left. total control, total command by the Peabody Tanners. Doug Rivera kicks it off, comes down to the 17-yard line, fielded on that hash mark, right up the middle, return out to the 39-yard line. And it is Gutierrez, Cedric Gutierrez, with a return for Peabody.
Peabody is playing at a different speed than English. You can see it with the kicking game as well as the rest of the game.
And sometimes that is attributable to the younger players. You know, we've seen younger teams come out and just not quite ready for that extra step that older players have sometimes. Or sometimes the other team's just a little more motivated. But right now, Peabody is just in command. They've scored on five consecutive possessions. They start at the 40-yard line, midway between the hash marks.
And Daugherty gets the handoff, spins forward for about five. Excuse me. Jake Daugherty.
PB is very well balanced, you know, and I don't know if they were at the beginning of the season, but, you know, they're able, they have a number of backs, a number of receivers that can catch the ball. Certainly, D'Amato is an able quarterback, and, you know, should see how they progress the rest of the season.
4 yard gain, second and six, sweep to the left side, and this time, Friedman maybe gets 2 yards to the 45. So, it'll be third down and five to go for the first down. So, they're only going to get to the 45-yard line, and the original line of scrimmage is the 40. Third down and five, Peabody. They're on the far hash mark, and they... have Matt D'Amato at quarterback. They got the I formation with Eric DeMeo, the fullback, and the tailback gets the handoff. That's Friedman. And he plows forward close to the first down with second effort, taking tacklers with him. Oh, Daugherty the carrier. So it was a wing around. And it is right at the 50. Wow. They're not going to measure. The ball is maybe an inch or two short of that 50-yard marker. So it's fourth down and less than a yard.
Well, the marker's on the other side of the line, and the ball is short
yep.
of the line. So
the nose of the ball just short of the 50.
So here's one of those dilemmas. Do you kick? Do you go for it?
Uh-huh.
I guess you go for it.
They will go for it. And this time D'Amato is under center with the I formation stacked up behind him. And it's a handoff to the fullback.
Yeah.
Gets the handoff for 2 yards. First down to the 48-yard line. 3 yards. DeMeo the carry.
Yeah, DeMeo's going to generally get you a yard or so.
Yeah. Just by walking up to the line. He got three. First down. And again, DeMeo a blocking back primarily last year for Doug Santos. And this year, blocking and running. And running very, very well. And he's only a junior. .813 left to go. Cam Powers is the center. And Daugherty is in motion. And Daugherty gets the hand. Check it. DeMeo gets the handoff, breaking tackles and still plowing forward, refusing to go down until he gets to the Lynn English 40. So they're just going to grind it out now after a tremendous passing display in the first quarter of this game. Ball is at the Lynn English 41. 7 yard gain. So second and three on the far hash mark. Peabody going from left to right. Daugherty in motion gets the pitch following DeMeo. Now cuts it outside and squirms his way forward for a first down.
A lot of times what coaches will do is they'll start their first offense if you're this far ahead in the second half. Hopefully drive the ball down, score, and then get the younger kids in. But we'll see.
Well, that's the first down for Peabody. They're controlling the ball to start this.
These are in balance
third
line
quarter.
To the left.
Mm-hmm. They stacked it up to the left, and they're going to run to the left, trying to sweep to the left. Friedman following a block, and he squirts forward to about the 32.
I don't know if there's a planned blocking scheme there, but it appears they go unbalanced line, and then they give the ball to the back, and he just kind of reads where the opening is. I don't think it's planned to go outside.
Almost a six-yard gain for Friedman, so second down, the ball is just over the 32 on the way to the 31. Clock moving at 6:27, 35-0, Peabody. 21-0 in the first quarter on passing by the Peabody. It's hard for me to say that. Peabody passing. It's just, it doesn't go well with looking at the school level. I don't understand that. Anyway, it's Friedman carrying the ball, and he blasts forward for a first down to the 25. And I say that only because Bill and I started here. We started in a classroom across the way up on the third floor when the school abutted the field, the stands. And Art Adamopoulos was the coach in 79 and 80, and Peabody just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran to championships in the GBL. Another first down for the Peabody Tanners. They are at the 25-yard line. after a 7-yard gain by Friedman. Here's the eye once again, offset eye. Friedman is the right halfback, gets the handoff, finds a big hole, and goes forward for yardage to the 20 to the 15. And still carrying tacklers, Friedman. Friedman is 5'7", 175, and he just looked like he was stopped several times at the 15 and got it to the 12. Or let's see.
He's one of those runners with the great hips, and watch him cut, and he's there 1 second and gone the next.
It's at the 13, so it is a 12-yard gain. Another first down run by Friedman. And it's first and 10. Tanners at the English 10. They're driving once again. I, with a new fullback in there, Friedman gets the handoff and gets it to the 10. Nick Palma was the fullback that time instead of DeMeo. And we're getting some substitutes now as Palma comes out. And he is substituted for by, I don't have it, 30. Yeah, Lewis Guidries, a sophomore, goes into the game on offense. But Friedman gets it to the 6-yard line? No, it's to the 10-yard line, my bad. 3-yard gain. Second and 7. And again, a new running back in the backfield now for the Peabody Tanners. Let's see if D'Amato is still a quarterback. He is. Hand off to Friedman, trying to sweep to the right, following blocks, and gets it inside the 10. Maybe to the 8. Clock moving.
I think that was 27, Rick.
Was it?
Yeah, I think they've got a whole new backfield in there.
Yep, 27 is Nick Nelsman.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
He got the carry. You are correct.
So they're trying to get the younger players in.
Gonna put it the 8. So it's a couple of yard gain. It's 3rd and 3 now. As
and Espinal is in a quarterback.
Yep, we got a new center as well as Mike Locke, sophomore, 5'10", is in there. And new quarterback, handoff, run play, reverse, and stopped before he could get back to the line of scrimmage. Got to go to the depth chart to the program. Luis Guidries now, sophomore, with the carry. And the ball is at the 8, no gain. So this will be the 13th play of this drive, and Peabody has had the ball for the entire third quarter as we are rolling along to the 3-minute mark. Now number 3 checks into the game. That's Jonel Espinal. He is a quarterback. He's a junior. He's 5'11", 175. Whole new lineup there. Well, Aiden Kelleher, a sophomore, 6 feet, 255 is a tackle. Good heavens. So, Palma is the fullback. The tailback, no, it's kept by the quarterback, and he's going to go down to the goal line and get...
I think he got the first
yeah,
down.
I think so. And that's Espinal on the carry.
Not sure if he missed the handoff or was designed
yeah.
play. It was difficult to tell.
So it's first and goal. Espinal gets him to the 2. And actually, it's... God, it's almost at the 1, right? Just short of the 1-yard line. So it's a first and goal for the Peabody Tanners. And the quarterback again is Jonel Espinal. And Tanners knocking on the door once again, leading 35-0. Michael Locke, 235. He's your center. I formation. And handoff to the tailback. Going to be wrapped up for a loss back to the 5. Nesnick stopped in the backfield. So that'll be about a 4-yard loss. It'll be 2nd and goal from the 5. And the clock continues to roll. 1:34 left to go in the third quarter. 35-0. Peabody. Bulldogs hands on hips, and they have been stretched to the limit tonight by
Tanners. Well, the clock's really moving, huh?
Yep.
So
down to 1:90. Well, I haven't had an incompleted pass or not a bounce play or a penalty. So handoff, first back, bullying his way forward. Looks like it's going to get close to the goal line, if not in, but got the 4 yards back. I don't know who that is. What's the number? Number 9, that's Nick Palma. He's a senior, almost 200 pounds. Get it down to the 1, so it's back to the 1. Got the 4 yards back, and now it is 3rd and goal from the 1. Inside 1 minute, 48 seconds left to go in the quarter. Lynn English has not touched the ball in the second half. This will be the 16th play of the drive. Again, Palma is the up back. He gets the handoff, goes forward, line surge, and he's in. Touchdown, 41-0 Peabody.
No, just a basic dive. I mean, they're not doing anything fancy. Just grinding it out.
16 plays, 40 yards. Palma finishes it off from 1 yard right up the middle.
Generally, you only have one extra point team, so a lot of the starters who are probably on it have to go back in.
Well, that certainly makes sense, but 16
plays. Yeah, you
don't
usually have, in high school football, a backup kicking team.
16 plays, 60 yards. Well, they are going to go to a second group. New holder is Cole Cuzzy, and a new kicker approaches the ball and puts it through. I don't know who did it. Who kicked it?
I don't know, but the holder got
got clobbered. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It might have been number 84, because I thought it was 24, but it might have been 84. Let me just check the program here. Brandon Muse. I think Brandon Muse did it. 8 seconds left to go. And the point is no good, so it's 41-0 with 8 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Add another 60 yards to the total. 252 now for Peabody. Total 41. Just a rough night for the Bulldogs tonight. So, Lynn English trailing this one. They, it doesn't get any easy for them, Paul. They got to go to Marblehead next week.
Boy.
Talk about from the frying pan.
Yeah, and what should be interesting is Peabody playing Danvers at Danvers next week.
Yes. Well, we may have to. We've got to put that on a schedule, I think. I'm not sure it's on a schedule, but if it isn't, it will be. Okay, so Peabody will kick off. English to get the ball for the first time in the second half. And it's going to come down to the 23-yard line. Return from left to right up the middle to the 30, to the 35. And is that number 9?
Yes, it is.
So that return by Nicky Dong. He's a senior. And he'll get it to the 37 or so, and that ends the third quarter. So after three, it is 41-0 Peabody over Lynn English. We'll be back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back for the fourth quarter, and it's a run play for Lynn English that gets the ball to the 44-yard line, a gain of 4, second and 6 for the Bulldogs, as Traquan Mentor carried the ball on the first possession. I formation, Severance is still the quarterback. It's a handoff to Mentor, trying to squirt it outside, cut it outside, and can't get around the corner. Stopped after a couple yards to the 46 or 47. Good
He's
effort.
A freshman, right, Rick?
Yeah, that's what it says on the program. It doesn't look like it.
No, but, you know, it's just watching that play, and it was designed to probably go off tackle, and he bounced it out. And what happens is when you play in youth football, I mean, he's a freshman, so
He probably played eighth grade football. A lot of times you can do that because you're faster than everyone else.
Uh-huh.
When you get to this level, they're just as fast as you are on defense. So you have to learn to really kind of go with where the play is designed, to where the blocking is.
And he's a big kid. He'll probably get more speed as he matures. He's the tailback, his mentor. As Tanner's showing blitz, they hit the quarterback, but he gets the first down on this keeper to the 49-yard line, almost the 50. Call it the 50. Severance gets the first down to the 50-yard line. And I think that's the second first down of the game, Paul, for Lynn English. It is. That's the second first down for Lynn English tonight. With 9:01 left to go in the first half, and Peabody is beginning to build a reputation here of being a really good defensive team. Ball on the far hash mark. English with the first down at the 50, going from left to right. It's going to be a pitch to Mentor. Sweeping to his right, gets a block, cuts it outside. Over the 50, spins around on the spin move inside the 45 to about the 43.
Well, I know that probably the, you know, it's the younger kids in there on defense now for Peabody, but I know that, you know, they're probably, the older kids don't want them to score. I mean, if you get two shutouts in 2 weeks, I mean, that's something special.
Yep, and again, Peabody's up. Paul, what does stats mean to a high school coach? Like, you had all those great players, and, you know, you pulled them a lot in the second half. How do you can tell me after the next play, how you put that in perspective, how you deal with that as a coach in the numbers. I formation, second and three for Lynn English at the 43 of Peabody. Pitch once again to Mentor. This time he's going to sweep to the left, trying to cut it outside, turns the corner this time, gets the first down, and gets it inside the 35, inside the 30. And he's knocked out of bounds. No, the clock's still moving at the 29-yard line. So how'd you deal with numbers, Paul? Shutouts and that kind of thing.
No, I mean, you just let the kids play. I did. You know, I mean, if I'd rather have our second team in there, you know, playing than to shut out the team.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean if you know, they got their second string offense and you leave your first string defense in to shut them out? I mean, I don't think that's your goal.
Well, you know,
your goal is to
let the kids play.
Let the kids play.
Get them in there.
You know, they work hard at practice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know they're probably not going to get a chance to play. And then when they do, you can't really take it away from them, you know, by saying, well, you know, let's not go full speed,
mm-hmm.
or let's just, you know, take a knee. You know, they want to play.
Ramos gets 6 yards on his carry on the first down for Lynn English. They get it to the 23, and, of course, Bulldogs will be a confidence builder for them, too, if they can get into the end zone there. Shuffling in players now on offense as well. And they've got some new guys up front. Alex Rodriguez in there at guard, I noticed. We've got twins to the right side, but it's in pretty tight to the I formation. Whoa, Peabody just comes barreling across the line of scrimmage before the ball was snapped. And it is offsides. Tanner, so that should be a first down for Lynn English. They'll put it at the 18. It's first and 10. Bulldogs at the Peabody 18-yard line. Clock showing 5:01 left to go. Peabody scoring on its first 6 possessions. Well, let me rephrase that. On all 6 possessions in this game. So they've done it in the air. They've done it on the ground. Now Lynn English on the ground. Trailing 41-0. Clock moving 4:43. They're at the 18 on the far hash mark. Dogs going from left to right. Mark Severance, the quarterback. Pitch to the tailback. Mentor gets a block. Cuts it around the corner. And he's knocked out of bounds after pretty good gain down to about 11.
Yeah, I mean, for a freshman, he's pretty impressive.
Oh, wait, that's Nick Dong that time. Nicky Dong, number 9. I thought it was 34, but it's number 9. My bad. A little bit bigger than Mentor, but Mentor's a big kid from here. Ball is at the 11. 7-yard gain. 4 minutes left to go. Our live streaming video right now, of course, is Marblehead over at Lynn Classical. And big game tomorrow, Danvers and Beverly, 2:30 here, live on MSO New Sports. Second and 4, that's Mentor. He submarines into the line, putting his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, gets inside the 10, close to the first down. Down to 3:37. And it's at the 8. First and goal. Lynn English taking its time in the huddle. Nice crowd here tonight on a really fallish evening. It's 45 degrees here in Peabody, but no wind. Nice, crispy fall night. Good night for football, for high school football in particular. Pitch to the tailback, Minter. Trying to sweep to his left. Tanners come up, try to close it off. They do, and they shut it, knock him out of bounds. Well, they say the clock, he didn't go out of bounds. The clock's still moving.
Yeah, he should have turned it up. He tried to outrun him again to the sideline. What you want to do is get your shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, and then you get some power going forward.
All right, so no gain. Let's see. Yeah, they give him. I can't see where the ball is, Coach. It's at the 6, so he gets 2 yards. Second and goal from the 6?
7. I think it's a 7.
I think you're right. It is the 7. Clock continues to roll. 2:24 left to go. Lynn English. Peabody not touching the ball in the fourth quarter. It's all Bulldogs in the fourth quarter.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there's a...
They try to run a counter play,
yeah,
but...
Nothing, maybe a yard or two lost.
Yeah. You can't... Anytime you run a counter, you can't have penetration up the middle. And they had 3 guys.
That was John Cosmos, who got stuck back at the 10. 3-yard loss. Now it's 3rd and goal from the 10. 2-minute warning has come and gone. As we're at 1:45, clock continues to roll. 41.
So this will be a 2-possession half.
That's right. Each team with 1 possession. All 3rd quarter for Peabody, all 4th quarter for Lynn English. That is correct. Minute and a half left to go in the game. Severance under center with the 3rd and 10. Hands it off to Ramos. No, he keeps it. Severance throws it toward the end zone. That's going to be incomplete. And that will stop the clock. Or will it? Yeah, it does. With an incompletion and 1:18 left to go. And now it's 4th and goal for Lynn English. Homecoming next week for Gloucester. We're going to try to do that game. Saugus will be at Gloucester. I haven't seen Saugus in quite a while. But again, Danvers Peabody, a big game next week as well. So check our website for the schedule for sure. Bill and I will talk about it, make sure we get these games covered. 1:18 left to go in the ball game. English with a last chance now to score. They're facing 4th and goal from the 10-yard line.
Well, the thing is, they didn't score last weekend either, so...
Well, they've got trips to the right, 1 receiver to the left, and shotgun for Severance. Left-handed quarterback, he's going to run with it, and he's got a clear path to the end zone. Touchdown for Lynn English. And so now it's 41-6 as the Peabody defense just peeled off and pulled back. And Severin spotted that opening and took advantage of it and scored from 10 yards out. And the number is 7770. And for the Lynn English Bulldogs, they put together a 13-play, 60-yard drive of their own in the fourth quarter after Peabody did 16 plays and 60 yards in the third quarter. So Severance is the quarterback as they go for 2. And it's a hand, that's a pitch to the tailback. Ramos trying to get it outside. And no, it's Minter. Minter goes in for the 2 points. And that's, well, I don't know what the clock shows for time. 26 seconds. And the score now is 41-8. And again, for the Bulldogs, that was 13 plays and 60 yards. So, Coach, we can recap this one here and then take a look. I don't know. I mean, Marblehead comfortably in first place. I don't know how Gloucester and Salem is doing. I don't have a score.
No, I tried to get it, and I couldn't, so we'll have to wait on
that.
That.
Yeah, I was looking at the Gloucester Times tweets, and I wasn't getting them. So we'll have that score as soon as we get home, for sure. You'll see it up on the website. And Noah Friedman is back deep for Peabody on the kickoff, and this might be the last play of this ball game. Colton Cole, a sophomore, 5'6", 150, is also back deep. Jefferson Roseland will kick off for Lynn English. 7 seconds left on the clock. So, left-handed kick. It's going to come down to Friedman at the 15. Straight up the middle to the 20, 25. Cuts it outside to the 30, to the 35. Reverses field. Dumped there. The clock shows zero, and that'll do it.
So, Friedman, huh? They put him back there.
Yep. So the ball game is over. We will take our final break of the night and let you know that it was Peabody 41 and Lynn English 0. We'll be back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Final score from Peabody High School is Peabody 41 and Lynn English 0. I'm Rick Moore along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer Bill Proposky. And Peabody Tanners had the ball for six possessions, and they scored on every single possession. And it went like this. First quarter, it was Eric DeMeo scoring on a 13-yard reception from Matt D'Amato, the quarterback, on a pass play as Peabody just went to the air in that first quarter successfully. Four plays, 20 yards after a turnover, and it was 7-0 at that point. D'Amato adding the extra point. 8:10 left to go first quarter. Tanners came right back on the next possession. 11 plays, 49 yards later. Another touchdown pass, this time from D'Amato to Doherty, covering 8 yards. 14-0 with 2:11 left to go first quarter. And then it was D'Amato to Doherty again, this time a 34-yard hookup. 3 plays, 46-yard touchdown drive. 21-0 with 11 minutes left to go. First play of the, last play, I should say, of the first quarter. On the next possession, Tanners came back, put together a 5-play, 34-yard touchdown drive after an interception, as Doherty scored his third touchdown of the night from 3 yards out, 28-0, 6:38 left to go in the half. And then Doherty again on the next possession, 17-yard dive, 4 plays, 43-yard drive, 35-0 with 3:05 left to go in the half. That's the way the half ended, 35-0. Tanner's 192 yards of offense to 41 in the first half. Peabody had the ball for one possession in the third quarter for the entire quarter for 11 minutes. 16 plays, 60 yards. Nick Palma scoring from a yard out, 41-0. And then with 8 seconds left to go in the quarter, and then Lynn English had the ball for the entire fourth quarter as they put together a 13-play, 60-yard touchdown drive with Severin scoring from 10 yards out on a keeper. They got the two-point conversion, and that's where the score ended, 41-8 Peabody. 101 yards of offense for Lynn English total, 252 yards of offense for Peabody total. And the story of the game, the passing really of Matt D'Amato in the first half, 9 out of 12 for 124 yards and 3 touchdown passes in the first quarter. And that sort of opened up the gates for Peabody to go on and win this game.
Well, what English's philosophy was on defense to start the game was to load the box and dare them to throw. And they did, and they completed them. And you got to give them credit. You know, they probably felt they had to stop the run. They had to load the box and let them throw. But, you know, they threw it very effectively and got 3 touchdown passes. But it was, you know, physically it was there was a big difference between the two teams. And, you know, a lot of young kids playing for English and, you know, try to keep their spirits up, work hard at practice, and, you know, make practice fun and hopefully they'll improve. Peabody we've watched 2 weeks in a row, and they've been very impressive. And next week they play Danvers, so it should be very interesting to see if they can keep on getting better and get in the playoffs and do something there.
Well, Peabody now moves up to 2-2 in the league, and they are 3-3 overall. Lynn English 0-3 in the league, 1-5 overall. And for Coach Betancourt, that is his 20th career win as head coach of the football team. He's 20-19 now, gets over the 500 mark. So don't forget, check the website, find out where we're going to be next week. We're going to lots of games. And don't forget tomorrow, tune in. Channel A, Bill Newell will have the broadcast for you, as it's a big one. It will be Danvers and Beverly tomorrow, right here on MSONewsSports.com at 2:30. So that's it for Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. Have a wonderful weekend. Final score from Peabody, the Peabody Tanners 41, and the Lynn English Bulldogs 8. This is North Shore. Check it. This is, I was going to say North Shore Broadcasting Corporation. Haven't done that in a while. This is MSONewsSports.com. Good night.